Pratham Canto 9, Chapter 15, Text 41. Rajno Murda Bishiktasya. Rajno Murda Bishiktasya. Vado Brahma Varad Guru. Vado Brahma Varad Guru. Tirtha Samsevaya Chamo. Tirtha Samsevaya Chamo. Jahi Angat Chuta Chetana. Jahi Angat Chuta Chetana. Rajno Murdha Bishiktasya. Vado Brahma Vadat Guru. Tirtha Samsevaya Chamo. Jahi Angachuta Chetana. Rajno Murda Bishiktasya. Vado Brahma Vadat Guru. Tirtha Samsevaya Chamo. Jahi Angachuta Chetana. Vado Brahma Vadat Guru. Tirtha Samsevaya Chamo. Jai Anga Chuta Chetana. Madhujis. Vagyo Muda Vishakasya. Vado Brahma Vadat Guru. Tirtha Samsevaya Chamo. Jai Anga Chuta Chetana. Rajna of the king. Murda Abhishiktasya, who is noted as the emperor. Veda, the killing. Brahma Vedat, done killing a Brahmana. Guru, more severe. Tirtha, Samsevaya, by worshipping the holy places. Cha, also. Amha, the sinful act. Jahi, wash out. Anga, O my dear son. Achyuta Chetana, being fully Krishna conscious. Translation. My dear son, killing a king who is an emperor is more severely sinful than killing a Brahmana. But now, if you become Krishna conscious and worship the holy places, you can atone for this great sin. Purport by His Divine Grace. One who fully surrenders to the Supreme Personality of Godhead is freed from all sins. Aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha yishyami. From the very day or moment he fully surrenders to Sri Krishna, even the most sinful person is free. Nonetheless, as an example, Jamadagni advised his son Parshuram to worship the holy places, because an ordinary person cannot immediately surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is advised to go from one holy place to another to find saintly persons and thus gradually be released from sinful reactions. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 9th canto, 15th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam entitled Parshuram, the Lord's Warrior Incarnation. Om Gyana Tirmani Sayaganan Jana Shalakaya Sakshman Tamiyana Tasma Shri Gurve Namaha. Namo Vishnu Paraya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutli Srimadi Bhaktivedanta Swamini Namini Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Kuchani Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashatra Desatani Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaurabhakti Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. So the killing of this king is compared to the killing of a brahmana. It's stated that of all sentient beings, the brahmana is topmost. And to kill a brahmana is the most abominable act one can commit. For to atone for that, it's stated that one has to go into the forest and live there for 12 years, beg his food, and live simply. That's something. And there's another form of atonement where you stand up and be the target of an archer. Or you jump into the fire 3 times. So these are the atonements for killing a brahmana. But here we're told that killing a king is higher than killing, that is worse than killing a brahmana. See? And so Srimad Bhagavatam says, Sarva Deva Mayam Vrita. The king is the embodiment of all the demigods. The king is the embodiment of all the demigods. That's not easily understood. But at further along it's stated that the king is endowed with potency of Indra, Vayu, Soma, Surya, Agni, Varuna, and Kubera. He is endowed with the potencies of all these topmost demigods. And because of that, his luster exceeds all men. And so it's stated that even an infant king should not be despised. Even an infant king should not be despised. there was a show once, I think was in Bangalore. Well, of course it was from a movie, Indiana Jones, where all the generals and the high ranking personalities were praising the king. And when he arrived in the arena, everyone bowed down, except Indiana Jones, because he was an infant. He was just about 10 or 12 years, you see. But he couldn't understand the concept of monarchy, the rules of monarchy, and his and the king's special position. You know, especially we know in America, They rebel all monarchical ruling, you know. And when that happens, what happens? Anarchy takes place, right? So the king is very essential. Without him, there's no real protection in the world. There is no real protection of the world. And then the stronger beings advantages the weaker. Just like they say in the ocean, the bigger aquatics eat the smaller aquatics. Just like that, without a proper ruler, without a king, then chaos takes place, anarchy. Without monarchy, anarchy takes place. See? So here, Jamadagni is cautioning Parshuram. Parshuram is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, incarnation. And within the Bhagavatam, he's stated as a Shaktavesha avatar. Also, he's categorized within the Leela avatars and the Dasa avatar as one of the 10 incarnations. But it seems like to the common man that was not known. The position of Parshuram was not really known. So even though he killed Kartavirya Arjuna, who was a heinous king, he was very atrocious, and especially to the demigods. He was endowed with powers from Dattatreya. He had 1,000 arms. He had perfected the mystic cities, and so he could move at the speed of mind. He could travel to all the planets within the universe. See? And so, because of that, he became very puffed up. Even Ravana, who was a great demon, he harassed him easily. See? So he was very powerful, but not powerful in a positive way, more like a negative way. See? Notorious is the word. See? And so the last heinous act he committed was stealing the Kamadenu of Jamadagni. He stole that cow from Jamadagni, and then that was the last straw. And so Parshuram killed him. But of course, no ordinary person could have killed a Kartavirya Arjuna. But if Parshuram did that, still, it seems like the common people did not know that he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And so Jamadagni cautioned him that, well, better you go for atonement, go to the holy places. And we know that for the Vaishnavas, at least, that there's a few very important holy places, like Vrindavan, Mayapur, Dwarka, Ayodhya, Mathura, Avantipuri. All these are very important sacred places for us. And of course, you have Badrinath, Rameshwar, Jagannath Puri, and Dwarka also. And there's holy rivers. So the atonement for killing a king is to visit these holy places and visit the saintly persons and bathe in the holy rivers. See? And that would do it. Also, there's some other places like Naimisharanya, Rameshwaram, Gaya, Badrinath, Varanasi, Prayag. I think some of you, or most of you, must have gone there. See, those are holy tirthas for the Vaishnavas. And of course, for the Shivites, and so there are even some more there. But we're not really going to go into that. I would like to discuss a little more about Parshuram, and then I'll discuss a little bit of devotional service. So Parashuram, after he had vanquished Kartavirya Arjuna, he was advised to do atonement, really. But then later on, the grandson of Vishwamitra was teasing him that, you know, you're what kind of a brahmana and so forth, and different things, telling him that he was not. And so he went on a killing spree, and he killed the Kshatriyas 21 times. 21 times. And after that, he gave the earth to Kashyapa Muni. Now in the Bhagavatam it's stated that he gave the earth planet to Kashyapa Muni. And then Kashyapa, some of the Kshatriyas were brought up. I think yesterday Pushkar was speaking about it. And I went through it back. It stated that but after he killed the Kshatriyas 21 times, anarchy took place on earth. And it stated that the earth was actually sinking. And Kashyapa Muni had to hold up the earth from maybe falling back into the Garbhodakshayi ocean. And in doing so, the earth told him that some Kshatriyas are being raised by cows. There was one Kshatriya was raised, the son of Shibi was raised by cows. The son of Vidurata was raised by bears in the Rikshavat mountain. Some were raised by wolves, see, by the ocean, by artists, goldsmith, and other sympathizers, you see. So then, after these were raised, Kashyapa went around the world and collected them back and installed them back as kings, so that monarchy can be established back. And since, because without good government, there's chaos all over the world. Maybe I'll hint this a little bit. Recently we've seen in the Middle East there's so much rebellion because everyone, of course there's oppression by these leaders. You know, they are oppression in some ways, but the mere idea that these people are rebelling and wanting to become like the West would create serious chaos in times to come. You see? Serious, because people are just looking for liberty and liberty and freedom and freedom, and compromising with the laws, with the ecclesiastical laws or the religious laws. You see? They're compromising with them. In fact, just last weekend, one Muslim was telling me that what will happen, they would soon become exactly like the West. And then so much, you know, so much confusion would take place. See? Like, I need not go into that right now, but you know, definitely. But of course, these are signs of Kali Yuga. And we're seeing it with our own eyes. Look how many. There were like three or four countries rebellion started. There are still a few kings within the Islamic and European countries. I think even in India there might be a few incognito. See? I think there's one in Morocco, one in Saudi Arabia, one in Jordan. See? And of course we know the Queen of England. And there might be some in Nepal and some other places, but all these monarchical rule will soon come to an end, and then you have like the so-called democratic government would rule, and that, you know, that would definitely bring problems within society. Of course, Srila Prabhupada wants us to ourselves become strong and try to give guidance to the world. So we should keep that as keep that within our mind and purify our existence and train ourselves properly so we can help in that. But coming back to Parshuram, so after Parshuram had vanquished 21 times and monarchy was set in place again, he went to South India, Mahindra Mountain, and he was residing there. But then later on he would train Bhishma Dev, if you can remember, he would train Bhishma Dev. He would train Dronacharya in military arts, and he would train Karna. But of course, he ended up coursing Karna. See, because of Karna lying to him. But that was also a help of the Pandavas. See? So, and then he stated that he's still living there, and in his next manvantara, he would become a great preacher of Vedic philosophy. So there was a little incident with Maharaj Yudhisthira and Lord Krishna. After Maharaj Yudhisthira was crowned the king, Lord Krishna was there, and Maharaj Yudhisthira was glorifying the Lord as a king, and that was great. And so one day Maharaj Yudhisthira found that Lord Krishna was in deep meditation, and he said, "If I am qualified, tell me, what you were meditating on." And then Lord Krishna said, "I was meditating on Bhishma Dev because he was thinking about me." See? He was thinking about me. So he's about to leave his body and he's thinking about me. And so I was contemplating on him. I was in deep meditation of him. And so I think that you should go now and listen to him speak about Varnashram Dharma. And so whilst they were going, Lord Krishna says that these five lakes here were created by Parshuram when he killed the Kshatriyas 21 times. Samanta Pancha. See? So these are the five lakes. And then as they were going again, Yudhisthira says, "You said he vanquished the Kshatriyas 21 times, so tell me about it. What was the reason for that?" And then Lord Krishna would explain the whole history of Parshuram, and then how it happened and so forth, and how the Kshatriyas was revived. And so the Pandavas were enlightened. So the other important part that has been stressed here by Srila Prabhupada is devotional service. See? Devotional service. And he says that burns any papa or any sinful activity that one may commit. See, it's stated, "Api chet sadura cho bhajanti mam ananya bhak. Sadur evacha mantavya samyag via vasito hisa. Even if one commits the most abominable action, if he is engaged in devotional service, he is to be considered saintly because he is properly situated. So even Parshuram had committed the most abominable activity of killing the king. See? Because he is engaged in devotional service. I mean, killing of the Kshatriyas may not seem, but just like in the Mahabharata also, the Lord was instigating the Pandavas to kill these heinous kings. See? Because it is the will of the Lord, the wish of the Lord. And if one carries out the wish of the Lord, then that's devotional service. You see? One who surrenders, he says, Sarvadharman Pratyajam Mamikansham, give up all varieties of religion, all concept, and surrender unto me. Surrender unto me, and I shall free you from all sinful reaction. See? So, devotional service should not be taken lightly, and anyone and everyone that takes to the process is special. See? And so, we should be very cautious and very careful in making judgments and blaspheming devotees and speaking unpalatable things because the Lord does not take it easily. See, he does not take it easily. A devotee is special. And if he commits a mistake, or if he stumbles along the path or whatever, if he rectifies himself and engages in devotional service, he's well situated. And one has to be very, very careful and cautious about this. Very careful and very cautious, because committing aparad is a very serious impediment to our devotion to the Supreme, our bhakti like a beach. See? And so we have to be very careful and very cautious. When I had taken to devotional service, I'll get a little subjective. Every time I would visit my father, he would always say something in a sarcastic way, very sarcastic. And I tried to caution and warn him, be careful of speaking bad about devotees. You know, he would recite things like beggars, he would recite so many things. And I used to really feel humiliated. Because of that, I didn't go to see him for like 8-9 years. And I used to always feel, he would say, thou shalt not chant the holy names of the Lord in vain. Like that, and things like that. And he used to follow some Christian guys, and sometimes. But at the end, I brought him with me, trying to reform him, really. And he was with me chanting and doing very well, very well. But then maybe again he started to get critical, and he went away with my sisters. And shortly after that, problems after problems started to hit him. One time he fell down and hit his head, crack his head. See? And then, but he would continue with that kind of thing, really, and I always warned him, really. And then at the end, he fell down and got a stroke. So when I went to see him, he would look at me. But he can't speak anything. He couldn't speak. And so I, within my mind, I was so, I felt really sorry and everything, my father. But I, within my mind, it ran to him. Because he had a tongue, he would babble it so much. And he would, he would humiliate me and even the devotees in different ways. And I am, within my mind, all these were coming true, really. And I said, look, now the Lord has put you in a situation You can't even speak a word anymore. See? And then later on he died. See? And you know, I forgave him really, because you know what else you could do, but you know, to blaspheme devotees is a serious apparatus, and we have to be very careful, very, very careful and very cautious, you know, what we're saying. And it might come to a point where this tongue, if you don't use it properly, then we might not be able to get, we may not be able to use it at all. See? So I'll stop here. If there's any comment or question. Yes, Prabhu.
So, thank you. So if someone makes them, makes the error of offending a devotee in this manner, how can he correct himself?
Offending a devotee. One of the first things is that at least he should ask for forgiveness, take a very humble position, and keep serving the Lord and engage in devotional service steadfastly. See? Engage more seriously in chanting and hearing, like that. And these would purify one easily. You see? And you know, you become satiated by it. But if you constantly offend devotees, then the Lord would not take that easily. You see, and it would come a point you would not even get the association of devotees. See, offending devotees means you fall away from the association of devotees. You know, you become, and then, you know, other things start to happen. I mean, that's how apparatus it is. Yes, Madam Mohan Prabhu.
Thank you. I was thinking, though, the person to even recognize that he offended a devotee is already like halfway there, because generally the way the mind works, at least mine does, is the other person was wrong and I was just trying to say what was right. And so it seems to me that there's a whole mentality behind the offense, besides just the offense. The offense is just like the symptom of a mindset that needs to be reconsidered. Maybe you could speak on, you know, because when you make the offense, that's just like the little bit that came out, but behind that is a whole structure of a personality that sees things a particular way.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, well, you seem to make like two important points here. The first one was by recognizing your offense is a great step. That's a great step. And now, so you have to try to take the measures to stop it and to mitigate it. And the other point is you say that sometimes one may not think that it's an offense, but he's correcting one or he's trying to help that person. That's true, and that is true, and it could also be detrimental in some ways. You know, because if I'm not an authority, you know, sometimes if you see someone commits an offense and, you know, he doesn't want to rectify himself or whatever, really. The spiritual master of that person, of course, he's in charge, you know. Then, of course, you have, like, senior devotees, and, of course, you have authorities. And they're the ones that deal with these situations. you know, if you know that you could help in a positive way, then, you know, you do that. But if you feel that the person would become rebellious and would not take your advice, then don't give your advice. You see? And so, these things we have to be cautious and careful. Just like yesterday I was talking to Keshav Prabhu and I says, I want him to speak to my son about a certain topic. And he was thinking of why I shouldn't, but I felt if I speak to him, he might not listen to me, you know, on that particular topic. So I sent him to someone else, and I think, you know, so sometimes we have to be careful about, you know, what we say to someone if he would not, you know, appreciate what you're telling him, and let the authority or someone else do it. Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Okay.